Hello, remote friends. The information from this podcast is rich with remote support, but it's even more important that you go from information to application to get the best results possible. Remote work is here to stay, and we want to help you on your way. So let us know how we can support you even more by visiting remotepathways.com. There you will find a quick link to talk with us directly. Reach out to Jen for all your teamwork, leadership, coaching, and facilitation needs. And reach out to Michelle for developing a healthy, sustainable rhythm of life through spiritual practices, 90-day projects, and simple structures to support your remote working journey. Until we connect, thank you for listening. It's such an honor going remote together with you.
Let's explore the remote world. Together we'll discover the people, places, and pathways to working remotely. We'll engage in great conversations, share tips and valuable resources, and connect you with voices from the field. Let's go remote together.
Hey, Michelle, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Jen. Happy to be here in this space with you and really excited about our topic today. We're going practical.
My favorite topic. Let's get practical and tactical. And we're going to talk about 10 tools to get things done in the virtual, remote, and potentially the upcoming hybrid workspace.
Everyone needs this episode. This is kind of going to be our top 10 list.
It's a top 10, and I know how much our listeners love a top 10 because everyone is moving so fast, has many things on their docket, and I do hope that this is one of those episodes which you can listen to, share with others, and also take a moment and let us know what tools you use as your trusty go-tos in this virtual remote adventure world we live in.
That's one of the many reasons I enjoy our conversations, Jen. We just came here, talked about this topic and said, okay, we're living in a busy remote world right now. What are our top 10 tools that we're actually using or we're considering using? Because it's great to pull from that treasure, something that we know that we can pay forward. So let's start.
Number 10 would be, it's somewhat number one in my books, but we'll start with this one. Bringing people into the room. It's a number one priority, but it did come up as 10 on our list, which is how are you involving people in your conversations? Are you getting them not only to talk, but are you also getting them to annotate or use their hands to bring voices into the room? So my number 10 tip is actually use of annotation on calls like Zoom or Teams. Sometimes we are also bringing in Miro, which are really like digital post-it notes and digital frameworks that we can use to have a facilitated conversation. Because as I said years ago, an effective virtual conversation, it can't be death by conference call. We have to have engagement. We have to bring people's voices into the room. So no more Zoom fatigue. Let's use all these kinesthetic approaches to bring voices in the room. Number 10.
Great wisdom there. All right, moving forward. What's number nine?
What's number nine? Nine on my list is how do we take those hours of transcriptions, those hours of meetings and classes and calls that we've done and do something useful with them? Well, that's where three different apps come into play. I use all three in a given day. If you are on Zoom, you might want to check out Otter, which naturally interfaces in and will actually transcribe your Zoom calls with approval, of course. And this is something you do need to get approval from your groups around. The other that I use and have used for years is, of course, Rev Audio Transcription Services. Different price point, but excellent, or have been excellent in my own work, really looking at course design and making some of the audio available in different ways. How about you? Do you use anything for transcription?
I don't currently, but I'm going to be checking out these that you mentioned today.
As a writer, as a course designer, they are essential in my world. And I would say I use one of the three of those every week.
That's wonderful. And that takes us to number eight, the one that we can't live without, Jen. We both agreed on this one, Canva.
You're a Canva-like advocate. What do you love about Canva?
I love that I can just have a thought and put it to picture immediately.
grab some font to add to it and post it on social media, generate a newsletter, come up with a flyer if I'm going to have an event. So I really like the quick access. It's very user-friendly, and I can share things with my team. I do like the free version, but I encourage you to upgrade to the next level because it allows you to save some of your branding templates and things of that nature. So it's worth going up to the paid version.
I would agree. I use Canva almost every day. If it's not me, it's a member of my team uses Canva because the visual anchor is so critical in this virtual, remote, and hybrid world. So everything from the icons we're using to the colors are all signaling something. So as I say in my standout virtually work, what is the environment you want to create in this virtual, remote, hybrid world? And a big part of it is slide design. It's graphic design. And even though we might not be graphic designers, I think Canva is a tool that allows us all to boost or bump up our skills in design a little bit more.
Couldn't agree more there, Jen. Here's another one that you've shared with me. I did not know it existed until you brought it into my virtual world. Number 7, Trello. What is it?
So Trello really, I think originally was created as a project management software, but a lot of us use it as a design tool or even a visioning tool. So under Trello, you can create like wonderfully brilliant visual boards. It's a little bit like Pinterest in that respect, if you have their board layout. And I will often use Trello in program design, using it as almost like a mind mapping tool, but a visual mind mapping tool. And with iteration. How do you use Trello?
I really like it to start projects. I don't remain there, but when I want to get that visual layout and storyboard, I use Trello. I also use it with my clients when they want accountability. We share a board and they'll share information with me. Again, not long-term, but just to get them started in that rhythm. And it works really well because you can also put little stickers and stuff to celebrate someone's success. You can actually see the progress. So I like that part too.
I love that progress. Of course, my affinity to the body of work that I have under Plan, Do, Track. We got to track our work, right? We need that element of motivation, of gamification, and of tracking and acknowledgement as we go. So I love that Trello, and I hope that our listeners are hearing how Trello can be a pretty multifaceted tool. A lot of people still don't know about it. And I've probably been on Trello for 5, 6, 7 years, but I am amazed. A lot of people are like, Trello, what? Check it out, Trello. So that's number 7. Number 6 is one of your faves, HubSpot. Take us through what HubSpot is and how you use it.
Yeah, so HubSpot's a CRM, and it's awesome because I actually use the free version and get so much out of it as a coach. It will track my emails. It'll even show me when someone's opened an email. I can upload my client docs. I can design pipelines to see the pathway to move them forward. I can put in financials in that information. So I just really, really enjoy that platform. It's also great because I can customize the fields that I want because I'm such a detailed person around people. I want to know everything about my clients. What are their spiritual gifts? What are their strengths? What's their DISC profile? All those fun things. I can track it there. And here's the best part. They have a great app so I can have that information at hand at all times. I'm not always at my desk. Sometimes I'm at the grocery store and somebody's going to call me. I can just pull up the app, find those important client details, and have those vital conversations.
I love that. And I love that you're pointing us to mobility, right? A lot of people have said, oh, mobile's, but you know what? Mobility is an issue. If you are working in this virtual, remote, and hybrid space, and hybrid being, of course, where some people might be back in person, others might be coming in virtually, we need to think about portability and mobility of data, mobility of accessibility, because we may not be in front of one device. So how are things syncing? How are they portable to your app Notion? Love it. All right. Well, that takes us into number 5, which is to go back to Calendly. I had not used it for maybe 6 years. I had been using an alternative that I have, which is Book Like a Boss, which I also like. But Calendly is amazing for me because it's allowed me to take a lot of very discreet one-on-one, quick, what I call laser coaching calls, 15-minute calls, which used to straddle and span multiple days. It's been able to put me allow me to put it in sort of like very discrete windows of time. And I no longer have to go back and forth on, you know, are you available? Are you not? That is saving me a load of time. You know, if I really look at the numbers, we're like, I will book about 20 to 30 of those one-on-one calls a week. Wow. So I am thinking of the amount of time I have saved in the first couple of months of this year. And it has been a game changer, which has allowed free space for more creative work. Thank goodness. So how about you? Do you use a calendar? Do you use Calendly or something else?
Yes, I'm a huge fan of Calendly. And like you, I use it for those 20-minute conversations, the getting to know you or the strategy sessions. They're so wonderful. So yeah, very user-friendly.
Where can people find you, Michelle, if they want to actually book one of those calls with you? Where would they find you? Are you Michelle Mullins?
I'm MichelleMullinsCoaching.com, or you can head over to the Remote Pathways website and find me there. There's lots of quick links that go straight to my calendar page.
I think that sounds brilliant. Sounds brilliant. So definitely, you know, reach out to Michelle or I, because we both have these 15 to 20 minute windows to actually sit and have a conversation with you, because that's a big part of our world of work. So reach out. All right. Number four. And this is a great tool. Again, going back into the world of calls, what are the tools you're using to pull people when you do host larger calls? What are you, Michelle?
Well, the one that you're going to mention, Jennifer Grody, another guest that has been on here that we do strength seminars together, we decided to use this tool at the end of our strength seminar to kind of get feedback of their experience. And it was great fun because it pulls in the phone and it gives real results.
Love it. And again, it'll give you word clouds or see the feedback emerge on the screen real time, which is brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And what I found in recent months, you know, Mentimeter is one option. You've got live, no, Poll Everywhere. Everywhere is another one that's very similar. And you even just polling built into your Zoom or your Teams, which takes us to number three. What is the platform you're using to connect in with your virtual space? Zoom. And I read an article yesterday about, is it Zoom? Is it Teams? Is it Zoom? Is it Teams? And someone said, you know what? And this is not to diss Teams at all, but like Teams, and according to this article, was always trying to play catch up Zoom. And as a Zoom advocate for 6 years now, I am pleased to see that Zoom is still very much in the lead in a lot of interactive work and conversation spaces in this virtual realm.
Well, it was in your facilitation program that I got to know Zoom. And you taught me all the bells and whistles before anyone actually knew what it was. And I have to say, I really like Zoom because it brings in so many different communities together. For example, some people are on Facebook. Some people connect with people via YouTube. There's just so many different ways that communities are gathering. But Zoom is the place where they gather together. It is the community space where everyone says, I have access to that. And they have the free version. So you can at least even connect with family, friends. 40 minutes, I think they give you of free time on Zoom. That's so incredibly generous. I love the heart behind that.
Absolutely. And for anyone who has joined us or thinking of joining us, come and see Zoom. We use it pretty interactively in our community calls, which take the first Thursday of every month at 7 a.m. Eastern. All right, we've got two left in our episode that is going to wrap up in just a minute. And our number two on the list, Slack. The world of Slack. And so people either really love Slack or don't love Slack. What do you love about Slack, Michelle?
I love, again, a big fan, especially when I'm working with teams. It's great for team engagement and connecting people around the world and making them feel like, hey, we're in an office space again. Also, it has the app, so I can tell where there is activity going on and when I need to pay attention to some things that are happening on the Slack community. It's also a great form of a communication if you were doing a recording session here on Zoom, or perhaps you're doing a Facebook Live and you want to communicate with your team behind the scenes without disrupting the flow of chat feature, for example. You can use Slack as an alternative to talk to your tech team or just kind of do the behind the scenes things with it at the same time. So it's a great tool. How do you use it, Jen?
I'm using it a lot in groups, actually, alternative to Facebook groups, alternative to even Mighty Network groups. So it's sort of fun. Again, I'm in a couple of Slack groups right now, and I really like it, just in terms of that interactivity, the real ease of use of sharing video, sharing visuals. It connects us in a real-time way. That's not too disruptive, but I think there is also the flip side. As with any of these tools, you know, we want to make sure that they're enhancing productivity rather than getting in the way of it. And that takes us to our last one on the list, which is number one, and that is just simply Asana, right? Project management software. What helps you connect in with other team members around the world, whether they are in your same time zone or in other time zones. And I have to say, Asana has been a game changer in so much work. Again, with my VA, 12, 13 hours ahead, she can do her work, can really also update me. I pick it up. She goes to bed, I get up, and the whole business keeps running 24/7, which is really fun. You know, we both have good rest, which is nice. So you use Asana too, I think. So what are you enjoying about it?
Again, just like so many things, you are so much tech inspiration for me. So I didn't use this tool before you. I'm glad to be on your Asana network. And I just love that freedom of, hey, I can just assign a task here, either to myself or share with the team, and just that quick communication and add the visuals. And of course, I speak in emoji language, so they have emojis there too. Gotta make work fun.
Gotta make work fun, and you gotta make work productive. And that's what was behind doing this 10 tools to get things done in the virtual, remote, and hybrid world. So we'd love to hear from you. Share with us over at our Facebook page at Remote Pathways. What are you using? What can you not live without? We also have our videos over on YouTube. Share with us, what are the tools you use? And I think this would be a great topic for an upcoming community call. So stay tuned with Pathways Community Calls. Anything else you want to mention, Michelle, before we go to wrap up today?
Oh, I think we're going to circle back to that topic. These were 10 tools to get things done, and we're going to hit the remote road. And I'll see you again soon, Jen.
All right, Michelle, take care. Good to be with you.